Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games by three very kind dickheads. My name is Tommy Dasilo. We've also got with us Ben Vanell.
Hello, everybody.
It's Friday, isn't it?
Yeah.
TGIF.
Long work week's come to an end.
Hey, and
here we are together.
You know what you can do?
Play some goddamn video games. Yeah,
fire up the Magnavox.
Take off your little panties.
Turn the what? Oh, I always go commando when I play video games. Yeah, me too.
I take off my pants, and then I take off my underwear, then I put my pants back on.
Oh, right.
I go commando and I play commando.
Oh, pretty sure
there must be a game called Commando.
Yeah.
Can't picture it in my head, just realizing it's an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie as I speak.
I've got one of those old Nintendo ROB machines, you know, the little robot that they made.
Oh, yeah.
I've trained him to jack me off. I put my own special coordinates in. Shigeru Miyamoto, like, or whoever, like, designed that in a Nintendo. You reckon they did that before they sent it out into the world?
Absolutely.
Like, let's just test this out.
He was originally going to be called RUB.
He was originally going to be called RU Up. And that third voice that's been chiming in very rudely before he's been introduced is Adam Knox.
Hello, I'm the rude one. Rude but cool.
We've taken
rude
time out of our busy schedule of, you know, trying to peer into the girls' change rooms to get together once again and record another episode of this silly little show.
Is that from something?
I don't know.
Into girls' change room?
Yeah, I mean, it's like Porky's, isn't it? Or
why did you bring up Porky's, though?
Because we're a bunch of mates.
Because we're three rude boys.
Yeah, we're three scallywags out on the prowl.
If you bring up a Porky's reference without having previously been talking about Porky's, it just makes you sound like a bit of a...
No, but the vibe was like us being sort of
you were
rude,
feeling a Porky's
you
vibe.
You were vibing. You were vibing Porky's.
This is Porky's three at best.
Oof.
I've never seen any of them, I got to be honest.
I think I've seen some of the first Porky's.
I've seen...
I watched it through a little hole I cut into a wall.
There you go. I've been really schooled. That's how you do a callback.
Yeah.
What scenario are you in where you're only seeing part of a Porky's movie?
Mm.
I don't have the improv skills to tell you that.
Because I'm always fascinated when people go, I've seen like half of the first one.
How have you? I see what you mean. I thought you meant like having the screen be obscured by the whole.
No,
only a section of it.
Yeah.
I think it was on like, did you ever have Foxtel? TV1?
TV1 was just middle class, we had Foxtel.
Yeah. TV1 is where they would play stuff like that. That's how I've seen like... part of Porky's, most of Stripes.
Yeah, I was going to say Stripes is the one I think I have seen. Haven't seen Meatballs. Meatballs is one of them, isn't
it? I've never seen any of them.
What's the dead guy one?
Dead Man on Campus.
Weekend at Bernie's. Both accurate.
Dead Man on Campus is a great movie. Very underrated.
I don't think it is.
Jason Segel's in it. I liked it a lot. I remember liking it a lot at the time.
Is that about a vampire or just a dead?
No, it's about a guy.
It's like Weekend at Bernie's, but at a university, I guess.
No, it's not like that at all.
They find out
they're two fledgling university students, and they find out that there's a clause in the university's charter where if your roommate commits suicide, you get straight A's for the semester.
So they then
try and find someone suicidal to move in to their room and like kind of push them over the edge.
That's
so they have like
bad.
Sounds pretty good.
It's insane that it could never get made now without the Lifeline phone number just watermarked down the bottom of the screen.
A whole movie of Jason Segel going, man, life's pretty rough, huh?
Man, Jesus. It's hilarious. It's just like so funny because it's so like, you know, not done with a deft touch at all. It's like, let's make this person kill themselves. But the first guy that they get is like they think he's depressed, but he's actually like manic and crazy. And so he ends up like trying to kill them. It's really great. So I really recommend people go back and check it out because I think it holds up.
All right.
Anyway, you listen to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games.
Oh, yeah. Now, let's dip back into everyone's favourite segment of the show.
Last week, what's buggin' Ben?
Yeah.
And it was the enforced slow walk segment of the game.
Now, this couple of
what's
changes.
What's buggin' Ben this week? Bugging Ben. Bugger boy, bugging Ben.
Thanks for the theme song, Noxy. So this week, it's not anything video game related.
Great.
But it is bugging me. So it definitely belongs in the segment.
I think you've seriously misunderstood the purpose and intent of this podcast.
Nah. Now, this week has a subtitle.
Oh.
The subtitle is, What's Buggin' Ben, of Mice and Ben.
Mm.
Now,
I think I know what this is going to be.
I've done a twist.
We did not sign up for this at all. We've not signed off on you doing this.
The title of a classic Gary Sinise movie of Mice and Men.
Yeah, that's where it's from. Yeah. It's the Gary Sinise film.
Yeah.
The band, the Icelandic band of the same name.
Yes. I saw 2/3 of that on TV1, actually, so I know what you're talking about.
I saw it through a crack in a wall.
Okay.
I've got mice in my house. It's bugging me.
I've had mice before. It's the worst.
It's really
the fucking worst.
I've put down rat poison every single day.
No, you live in the city, man. They're savvy city mice. They don't go for it.
Yep.
That's for country
mice.
No,
they're eating it. They're eating the poison.
Are getting stronger?
I think so.
Fuck.
There's like they live in a hole in the stovetop.
Who gives a fuck?
Basically, listeners write in and tell me how to get rid of them. They're eating the poison.
You're
they're
not
still
even
there.
Trying to make this about video games.
Tom and Jerry.
Tom and Jerry is a video game. Let's talk about that.
It's
that cat can never get that mouse.
Tenuous at best. But I was actually playing, I mean, you know this, that's why you brought it up.
Yes.
I was playing the Tom and Jerry Nintendo game last night.
Yes, because, can we hear the backstory to why you have it?
Backstory, well, so what I've done this week, I've gotten, I've rigged up my MacBook, I've got a bunch of emulators, and I've got, by the way, everything I talk about on this podcast, of this episode of the podcast of games that I've played, just to be clear, all of this has happened illegally. So everything I've downloaded, I do not hold the license. You know, with ROMs on the websites, just absolve themselves of any guilt for hosting it.
Yeah.
They're like, now only download this if you own an original copy of the game.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound very cool. Why do you call yourself Cool ROMs? What are you doing?
Great reference. That is the actual site.
Yeah.
There's also Emu Paradise.
Yeah, yeah.
Misleading name.
Way fewer emus.
But so all of it's happened illegally. So I played and I've also managed to get my Wii U Pro Controller working on my MacBook. So I'm in fucking heaven.
Yeah, this is good.
Who needs her? I'm glad she left. Anyway, so I downloaded the Tom and Jerry Nintendo game because it's the first video game I ever owned. Because when I was a kid, I really wanted a Nintendo. My parents got me one for a birthday and they got it. I really wanted, you know, what do you want? You want Mario.
You want bloody Mario.
Of course you want fucking Super Mario.
Little Italian plumber running around.
Mum's gone out and she's gotten me the Tom and Jerry game because your name's Tom.
This is my favourite reason for anything.
Yeah, and it's like even playing it back because you just watched me play a little bit of the Flintstones when you came in, which we'll get to a bit later, but it like all those platform games based on licensed properties from that era, they're really, really hard.
Yeah.
They're fucked. Yeah.
So hard. So I find it hard now. I remember I just couldn't get past this certain bit. Like this bit that it's like, there's a bit that you can climb up, but in no way is it apparent that you have the ability as Jerry to climb.
Right.
So, is it the house with the stairs?
You start off, you're in like an attic, like you're in like you're climbing up drain pipes and stuff like that.
Because I used to have the Game Boy version of this when I was a wee little tacker.
Right.
I played it on the plane.
Nintendo Wee Little Tacker.
Nintendo Wee You Little Tacker. And that it kept me quiet on a plane trip from England to here, which is Australia.
No, Emu Paradise, thank you very much.
So it took a hell of a long time. I don't think I ever beat it though, but I don't remember.
Wait, are we still in Australia? Like
right now?
We should location mark. People don't know. We might have stopped recording
episode
and then gone to another country.
That's true.
That's fair.
I feel like a lot of those games, those licensed games. It's like with arcade games, how they were really hard, so you had to keep paying, like putting coins in.
Yeah.
Like all those licensed ones, they were like built for rentals, so you had to keep renting them.
Well, they were just really short, and it's a way to like artificially inflate how long you'll take with them.
Exactly, because they don't have much development time if they're like tied into something. Yeah. So yeah,
but
they just
make
them real
hard. All those games, because there's no saving and there's no continuing unless they bothered to, you know, the archaic password system that put in for each level.
Yep.
So there's like all these games where I've played the first like level like a million times I know it like the back of my hand, and then the second level I've played maybe a dozen times, and then I've never gotten further than that. But I remember like hooking up the system and just being like, wow, this is incredible. You know, but it couldn't get past this bit, and just like asking my dad to come and help me, because it's just what you do when you're a kid.
Yep.
Or in some cases recently in my life, a 29-year-old man. I don't know how the barbecue works. Anyway, so dad came, and dad just like looking at the screen and just like not knowing what the fuck was going on. Just being like, just, and then looking at me getting frustrated and going, wow, this is what we've created.
Yep.
Like, we've created a real monster. Like I remember throwing a real tantrum because I couldn't work out how to get into the second level.
Yeah, I reckon I threw some video games related tantrums in my time.
Yeah.
I remember getting really into Final Fantasy VII. And it was because we'd like borrowed it from someone and we had to give it back. And I was like, let me play, mum. All right. I don't want dinner. I'm not going to eat dinner. Okay.
Oh, I thought you meant like your mum was trying to get involved and like have a crack at Final Fantasy VII.
Nah.
Now, you keep fucking it up, sweetheart.
You got to use fire too, not cure. Oh, it's a whole. Nah.
Yeah. I've thrown a lot of some controllers have been thrown.
Yeah.
We had a dog when I had the Nintendo 64. We had a dog, and she
kept beating you.
She, really good at Mario Kart.
Yeah,
she would like anything that was like left at a certain at a height that she could get to. She would chew through.
Ooh.
And she went through a controller like a memory pack that had a save game on it. Brutal.
It's a fucking nightmare.
What about you, Nox? Are you an angry gamer?
Nah, I've never cared about anything enough to feel an emotion about it. But my brother always used to get like that. He'd like yell and scream at things.
Yeah. Let's get him in here then.
Yeah. Add a bit of spice to the proceedings.
I remember always thinking it was really weird. Like
it's not rational. It's totally irrational. It's so stupid.
That was the best when the Nintendo Wii came out, and then they had to bring out the wrist strap.
Yeah.
They had to start putting at the start of the games that you have to put the wrist strap on, because people were fucking up their TVs.
being a bit too
boisterous with the old Wii bowling.
It's so fucked as well, because it's just golf and bowling. Like, how bad are you at golf that you're flinging your fucking stick across the thing?
It's the most embarrassing way to. It's the most embarrassing way to break a TV.
Oh yeah,
a Wii remote related,
like a slapstick sitcom scenario.
I tried to high five one of the people on the TV.
That'd be more embarrassing.
It's up there with the fake. Which a friend of mine did the other weekend, the fake kind of angrily throwing the phone onto the carpet and it's actually breaking the screen.
Yes.
My mate did that 2 weekends ago. It was spectacular to watch.
I hate it when, like, if you've ever, like, lent your phone to somebody and they're like, pretend to throw it, like, off a bridge.
Yeah.
And it's never actually gone off the bridge for me, but, man, I get scared every time.
Yeah, I've done that to someone.
Yeah. It scares the shit out of it. Don't do it. Like, I don't trust anybody's hand-eye coordination enough.
Yeah. I threw a friend's phone off a balcony at the Meerkat in Melbourne. And then because it was like, I've already done it, and then it lands in the street. And so then I, just to really, you know, make a meal out of it, I went and got in my car and backed over it. But like, it took me ages to calibrate. So I had to like so I'd go past and I'm like, I didn't hit it. And then I'd like reverse over it. It took like 8 goes while there's a crowd of people on the balcony cheering me on, going, yeah. And my mate going, you owe me a phone.
Like, yeah.
Why are we not discussing
if
this?
If you've already broken it a little bit, you might as well pretend you meant it.
Let's dine out.
Yeah.
Let's really go for it.
Let's rub that salt in.
So, the Tom and Jerry game.
Yep.
It's
a moray.
It's a spicy meatball.
Doesn't teach you how to catch mice, though.
No.
Mm. So, I'm very sorry for interrupting your segment.
Apology accepted. I won't have a tantrum this time.
Of mice and Ben?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's bugging Ben? : of mice and Ben.
Yes. And so
the basic point is, let me know how to get rid of mice. So end segment.
I can't believe the segment's over. Okay, well, I was going to offer guidance. So
I've got a beast piece of advice as well for when I am mice.
A beast piece of advice?
A little beast piece. Here's my segment.
Wait, beast piece.
Beast piece.
Beast piece of advice.
Beast piece advice.
Here's a little beast piece.
Beast piece.
So what
beast
you do,
piece. Here's some advice. I'm Adam Knox.
Right. None of the listeners are left.
When I had, I think it was just a mouse, but it might have been multiple because they're hard to tell apart.
Yes.
I tried the same stuff with the poison.
Yep.
And with everything like that. Traps with little bits of peanut butter. Wasn't working. So at some point, it kind of sent me crazy because I live alone and I was sitting on the edge of my bed waiting for it to show up, and I had the doors open so that I could charge it and chase it out of the house.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't work. He just ran back. He outwitted me at every turn.
Wow. Okay.
It's gone now, though. It ended up dying on my bath mat.
Yeah, okay.
So you just had one in the house, you reckon?
I think so, but I reckon I've
got
telling.
I reckon I've got two.
Have you seen them? Have they been anywhere near your bedroom?
No.
Right.
Just in the kitchen, which is great.
That's because we had ones in my old house, and I would, before I went to bed, I would see them running through the bedroom. And that's terrifying.
Yeah.
So hard to sleep because my fear is I wake up and there's a mouse in the bed.
Yep.
Or like on my head.
You're
or
up?
I couldn't.
It's silly.
Just trying to click that like button.
What you thinking about?
I'm basically just going to move out. Like,
yeah, that's a great solution.
Burn it to the ground. Yep. Claim the insurance.
You know, I'm going to move. Like, our lease is up in February. I'm just going to tough it out.
Live with mice for four or five months.
Yeah. Just draw a line down the middle of the apartment.
Yeah.
They can have half. You can have half.
Yeah.
They get, that's a way bigger apartment for them.
Yeah.
For 2 mice.
For sure.
Half they don't need half. Just give them, a cubic meter.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Don't go any higher than this. Just a square meter.
Or borrow a cat for a weekend.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Go to one of them cat rental services.
Get an actual Tom and Jerry situation going.
Yeah. Like the video game that I was playing.
Mm. But then how do you get rid of the cat?
You get a bear.
You're going to need a dog and then it keeps going.
Yeah. A dog, not a bear.
Okay, well, there you go. That's what's bugging Ben.
Yep.
Colon of mice and Ben.
Yes.
Now, please never do that again. Please never come in here with anything unrelated to video games.
You can't make me.
Ever again. So what do we got this week? We wanted to talk a little bit about some big video game news from the week.
Mm.
Big news.
Was that?
That's the segment introduction.
The sting.
big news. I'm going to stop doing the segment introduction.
Oh, sting in the tail.
Oh, now, tail of two tails? Cities.
Oh, wow. SimCity.
Oh,
thank God.
Oh, well done.
So this week, big news.
Oh, big news.
Fucking hell. was the announcement of the latest game in the Far Cry series. Far Cry!
That is such a tenuous link.
Oh, now I'm getting shit for tenuous links. At least there's a link that's tenuous instead of a non-existent one.
I'm the master of tenuous links. I get to judge.
Master of disguise. So Far Cry Primal.
Mm.
Now I'm not familiar with the Far Cry series. I mean, I know what they are, but I've never played them. This, to me, I watched the trailer. It looks like a pretty big shift in tone for the Far Cry series.
Well, yeah.
Sort of.
Like the past two, Far Cry 3 and 4, have been kind of stripped away the characters, skills and belongings and stuff.
Right.
And so oftentimes you're walking around with a bow and arrow hunting tigers.
Yep.
So it's kind of, it has a bit of, basis in that.
So it's just the next kind of
logical
step in that.
Talk
me through them. So you got Far Cry 1.
So Far Cry 1.
First one. Now when it came out, was it called Far Cry 1?
Yeah, it was 2004 and it was just called
It was called Far Cry. It was a pretty good game for the time.
Mm-hmm.
It had been built up for having great graphics and like extreme draw distance and stuff. And I had a pretty shit computer, but the gameplay was really good.
This whole thing was meant to be as well. It's like you can go anywhere on this island and you can tackle these problems any way you want.
You can go as far as you can see, basically.
Which didn't really work in that one.
No, it was like a pretty linear story.
But for the time.
For the time. But it was still pretty cool. Like there was I would look at the water and just be like, oh my God, this looks real. And it was, stealth based FPS, basically.
Right.
On a tropical island with mutant creatures.
And what's going on in your personal life at this time?
How old would I have been? 17 or something? 16? Yeah.
Had 6 mice in my house. Crazy.
Yeah, I just
want to know what the mental mindset of a man who's looking at computer graphics water and going, wow, that looks like a real water.
I'm so thirsty.
Yeah. I would have been a teenager. I would have been very thirsty.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that explains it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that wave almost looked like two boobs.
Oh, yeah. But no, it was good. A good game for its time. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it.
It was this big. I remember it being like that and Doom 3 and Half-Life 2.
Yes.
With a 3. What, like, they all came out within a year of each other.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
Like, fuck, it's the next set of graphics here.
Yes.
Here we go, boys.
And Far Cry was Crytek. So yeah. It was a new engine they'd built themselves, and it was really, really good.
Like, and was it only PC or was it?
It was, I think, only it might have been PC on at the time.
Xbox later,
Xbox okay. version. Now.
Interesting.
Yeah, but yeah, it was cool. Far Cry 2 was a pretty big shift.
Well, because Far Cry 2 wasn't made by the same people who made Far Cry. They went on to make Crysis.
Yeah,
which
right.
is a different thing.
Yeah,
which is more similar to the first Far Cry. And
totally.
Far Cry 2 was like more of an open world thing set in Africa.
Yep.
And you had
you had malaria.
Malaria. I was going to say a ninja cockle.
Yeah. So occasionally, like, your vision would blur and stuff.
IMHO.
Yeah, well, there's mosquitoes in Africa. He got malaria.
Yeah, it was dealt with sensitively enough.
Yeah. It's probably the best depiction of malaria that I've seen.
Yeah. It was like Blood Diamond.
Yeah.
Or something. But that was, yeah, different again, getting closer to the kind of current day gameplay where it's some outposts and stuff, and mm-hmm. you kind of go there and shoot the guys and clear them and stuff.
And what's going on in your life when Far Cry 2 came out?
Well, I wasn't as impressed by the the realism. 2008.
The water. What do you remember thinking? Oh, well, you're in Africa, so you probably didn't see any water.
Yeah. This grass looks real.
This
I'm
red
thirsty.
Dirt. Yeah. It was red dirt and trees. But I didn't get as into that game, I remember.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know how it was received either. Like,
It's the weakest one out of all of them, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It's regarded as. I haven't really played 2 either.
Yeah. And then 3 came out and it was kind of like, boom, here's a new giant franchise. Like,
right,
it's
okay.
really good, really...
Third time's the charm, I've yeah. said.
Yeah.
Yep. There were also a couple of dumb, like, shitty ones on the original Xbox, actually, called Far Cry Instincts.
Oh.
Where, like, you could turn into a beast.
Oh, wow.
You could become a beast.
Beast
and
beast.
Was, yeah.
And to be clear, these are, like, they're first-person shooters, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're real... Like, they're pretty much exactly what you think. I mean, they've got like an open world element to them.
Yep.
But they're real shootery shooters. They're real
cool.
Like Halo. They play very similarly to Halo, where it's that big,
yeah.
sort of open, big battlefield with a bunch of people, and you can approach it anyway, but with a bit more stealth. But
yeah.
then 3 was really good. It had it was on like this tropical island, and the thing with 3 is it had. This weird element of making fun of, like, douchebag bros?
Yeah, yeah. So the opening to the game is it's like a series of vignettes from these American idiots, like yeah. young, like, college people on holiday.
They're all, like, drinking in this island and skydiving. They're like, we're going to live forever, man.
Yeah. And then they land on the wrong island and they all get taken prisoner.
Right.
And yeah, and, yeah, and you kind of... Yeah, your character's kind of like a douche.
Are you the same person in every game?
No.
Oh, that's cool.
No.
I quite like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all different. And then so in 3, it had a pretty good villain called Vaas?
Yeah.
I think was his name.
I think
he was in
yeah.
an episode of Better Call Saul.
Mm. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Not as that character. But it was pretty good and like the story was okay and then it ended up being shit towards the end. But like...
Yeah.
The game was really good. It was really open and it looked great. And then 4... Well, actually, in between that and 4, there was one called Blood Dragon.
Oh, that's
which
right.
Which is more similar to the idea of Primal, it looks like. Because it was like this futuristic, like, fake 80s sci-fi film.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of fucking rubbed me the wrong way. Because it started with this, like, tutorial section. But
that's
all the little
right.
prompts would say, like, how fucking stupid are tutorials, man?
Yeah.
No, just press A to jump. We know that already. Keep
but
it
like,
to yourself.
But, like, while you're doing
making
it.
Making you
yeah.
do the
that's
exact
fuck
same
that.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's annoying.
And being like,
yeah.
how stupid would it be if we made you do this? Now do it.
Yeah.
And but the whole 80s sci-fi aesthetic was
yeah.
really cool.
Like just going, oh yeah, we have this, you know, gameplay engine, which was great.
Yeah.
Let's make a kind of tongue-in-cheek, like fucking amazing looking, you know.
It had
kind
like
of
these kind of 8-bit
expansion
style
pack
graphics for the cutscenes and like the cover art looked like an NES game. And
but so what, like,
yeah.
so these in-between ones, they're just like what, spin-offs? Like they're not,
pretty, yeah,
they're not
yeah.
enough sequels?
This It was
yeah.
like a standalone thing, but
okay.
it was a lot shorter and smaller
yeah.
and just kind of for fun.
That's right. I completely forgot about it. Like,
yeah.
yeah.
But that's what this new one is too, right? So
it
it's not,
looks
it's
like
not it's 5. Me. It's like a...
No.
new thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like it's going to be the side, the Blood Dragon equivalent, but for 4, because 4 came out a couple years ago.
I remember 4 coming out.
Yeah, and that was all like the Himalayas or something.
Yeah,
was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a fake
country in the Himalayas.
Yeah.
Again, like a good enough story. Mm-hmm. It was kind of, and it had some good elements where it was, you were working with some rebels and there was a guy who basically owned like the country, like he took over in like a violent coup. And occasionally the rebels would have different opinions.
Bit like Malcolm Turnbull, if you know.
Oh, jeez. Delete that. Delete that from the podcast.
We're not rocking the boat. But yeah, so the rebels had kind of 2 leaders, and they, one of them, I think it was often like a violent and kind of thoughtless path versus a more compassionate.
Well, they both had negatives from my memory. Yeah. It was like this one dude was like, we want to return, what was the name of the, Kirarat?
Kirat. Yeah.
And I was getting it confused with Ararat as well.
We want to return Ararat to its traditional owners.
Like traditional stuff, but then there was also like this little girl who he thought was like the reincarnation of some god, and he was kind of a dick about that. And
yeah.
But then the other woman was like a lot more progressive and wanted the country to do well and like everyone to be equal and none of this traditionalist stuff. But to do that, you have to sell a lot of drugs.
Right.
Yeah.
So they both kind of had their like pluses and minuses, apart from the drug lady who was completely correct.
Yes, but I went with the drug lady, I think. Yeah.
I think I just did the main guy thinking I'd go back and do the other, the main woman first.
Yeah.
I mean second, but I never bothered to play it again.
Right.
But yeah, and so in between like doing proper missions, you're like taking over these outposts, just killing people and like hunting rhinos and stuff.
Yep.
Or... were there rhinos? There were rhinos.
Yeah, yeah. So the mechanic they introduced in 3 was there's animals everywhere. Mm-hmm. You got like a hunting bow. And if you want to say, like you start off with 1 weapon holster, like a small number of grenades and stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Like all of those kind of like things could be expanded if you hunted and skinned enough of this kind of animal.
Ah, right. Okay,
like
that's cool.
5 badges, you get more grenades, just like real life.
Yeah. But that was genuinely pretty cool. It kind of encouraged you to just kind of like go explore around, increase your stealth skills. So that's in 3, that's in 4 as well.
And it was well made enough that like the environments felt pretty remote when you're out in the woods hunting for stuff.
Yeah, and like
animals could be quite dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. Like cassowaries could just fucking... kick your head off. Like it was pretty cool.
The honey badgers were fucked because they run at you and you get these little wolf fucks that would like come up to you in packs.
Yep.
And eagles would show up out of nowhere, like these huge eagles.
Yeah, and
for
like,
some reason are just like, fuck this guy, man. Yeah. I'm going to go swoop to shit. And so you'd just be running along and then your guy turns around and puts his arm up and there's a fucking huge eagle attacking you. They were pretty scary.
And in the 4th one, they introduced like, I can't remember what they were called, like golden something. Basically like... to get the ultimate like upgrade, you had to kill like this special animal, which was like known in the area. It was like a legendary animal.
Yeah. That's cool.
And this, so you'd like, white tiger,
and you'd have to like kill it using just a shotgun or you know like just a silenced pistol or whatever. So that was pretty cool.
So far, this sounds a lot like the movie Dr. Dolittle. Is it anything like that?
It's exactly like
it's pretty similar.
Okay, yeah.
Eddie Murphy's not in it.
No.
But apart from that, it all sounds like it's pretty much.
It's pretty much.
Yeah.
But yeah, Primal will obviously take a lot of that kind of hunting stuff.
Yeah. So just quickly, what's your favorite of the 4 of the whole series?
Probably 3.
Favorite been 3?
Yeah.
Anyone who's thinking of checking it out, where would you say they start?
I think 4 is 3? Better. If you haven't played 3, then 4 is probably better. But if you have played 3, then 4 is pretty similar to 3.
Yes.
So it's not going to have as much of an impact. But 4 is also the only one that's on like current consoles as
Sure.
well.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That is true, yeah.
So, this Primal one, you guys have clearly, you've both watched the trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are you feeling? What's your thoughts? I think it looks, having never played one, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely would prefer this than like a Far Cry 5 because... 4 was like, all right, cool. But like, if this happens again, I'm probably not going to be interested.
That's true.
Sure.
4 like refined all of the problems of 3. And it's like, well, I can't really imagine it being better. You know, like a number 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it needs to be like the next, like to just put 5 out on the same generation console. It's like, let's wait and build in whatever the new technology, the new thing is. And
totally.
It's been a while. So... just doing the same thing but a bit bigger is fine. You know, like GTA 5, for example.
Yeah. So, yeah, this, chucking you into a different environment.
And it looks like it'll be mostly, like, kind of up-close melee combat stuff.
Oh, and for people who don't know, I think we've made this clear. It's caveman times.
So it's caveman times.
You're a caveman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I reckon anyone
everybody
listening...
Everybody do the dinosaur. Do you think that's going to be on the title screen? God, I hope so.
Better. Honestly, there's not a, like, there's a chance that that would be, because they're kind of silly.
It was a night like this 40,000 years ago.
What's the, bring back the BC 52s from when they played in the Flintstones movie?
Viva Rock Vegas.
That sounds way better. I'm going to be really disappointed by this now. That it won't have like
Flintstones things,
pelican guns going.
What's the song living?
What's the song that they play? The
I think they
rock,
play the
Rock Lobster. It'd be something to do with Rock Lobster. Right?
No, no, that's the obvious thing.
There's
I think
a
they just
know where the hipsters go called Bedrock.
Yeah, great.
Bedrock City.
Imagine being in the meeting when someone decided that they should try, first of all, that they should try and get the B-52s to come in and be the BC-52s. And then the meeting when it's announced that the call has come through that, yes, whoever they are, the fucking weird voice guy's on board.
Yeah.
He's the really, really one that you need. You can just sort of do up a dummy band with the rest of them. But with, if you don't know him, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's true.
So you guys are feeling it. When's it out? It's out like next year or something.
Yeah, real soon, like February.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Right.
Which is cool. I like that. The thing of like announcing a game and then releasing it real close to that is very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is sort of Nintendo's problem at the moment because they're so like they have it's danger state. It's trouble down there at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, they bought out these real early screens of a new Zelda like a year ago now or something.
That won't end up being on the Wii U most
That's what they've said. Yeah.
Fuck.
They've said they're probably just gonna I don't know if they've said it or they've said it won't come out this year. And so now the popular theory is that they're holding it off for this new...
Yeah,
maybe it's one of those like split ones like, what was it?
The Twilight Princess.
Yeah.
God, I hope not. But,
Right.
Well, because it just hobbles the both of them. So.
Exactly, yeah. But that's Nintendo have always been guilty of that where they just hype things for, you know, 2-3 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, just roll
but weirdly,
it out.
They've got like fuck all on the horizon. Like, I feel like there's very few things that Nintendo have sort of... gotten in front of at the moment.
They've got this. Oh, what do you mean they've got coming up?
Yeah,
they've got a new Star Fox.
That's
part
right.
of next
really
year,
bad.
Which is apparently shitty because they've tried really hard to make it the one game that uses the gamepad a lot.
Ugh.
Where you so on the TV screen, you've got your traditional Star Fox view from like behind the ship.
The ship, yeah.
And then you hold the gamepad up, and the gamepad's like you're in the cockpit. So on the gamepad screen, you're looking through the window and you use that to move around.
But you've got to like, you've got to fling it about.
But in that, you can't see around you. So you kind of have to go between looking at the gamepad screen and the TV screen. And everyone that I've read a thing of who's played it at E3 demos and stuff has said, it is no good.
Yeah.
It is really difficult and it doesn't come off. And I really, Nintendo are generally pretty good at taking that stuff on from...
Yeah,
like, from
like focus grouping
and
stuff.
Stuff
yeah,
and like really refining it, but
well, they're not
it
developing
just doesn't
it.
Sound
though.
Good.
It's not Nintendo like doing it in house. It's Platinum Games.
Okay,
right.
They did. They've done a bunch of stuff. They usually do like beat 'em up type things. They just did a Transformers one that came out.
Right.
They did that Metal Gear Rising.
Oh yep.
They've done a bunch of stuff like that. I can't think off the top of my head what else. Vanquish.
It's a shame that they're just like the whole thing of like trying to wedge the gamepad in because it's like, look, it's at the end of the life cycle.
Yeah, it hasn't worked.
It didn't pan out.
Yeah.
Just make a kick-ass Star Fox game and just bring that out. Just one with a sick online multiplayer mode.
Yeah.
And
sweet dogfight action.
Yeah, and a deep single player and that'll do it. That's all we want. That's all you need at this point.
Yeah.
And you'll shift some units.
Like, yeah.
Don't try and convert people with it. Just make the people who've already got it happy.
With these games that have like relied so heavily on like either the Wii remote or the gamepad as well, one of the coolest things about the Wii and the Wii U is that you could buy this whole back catalog of Nintendo games.
Mm. Yep.
I don't understand how that will happen in the future. Ever,
yes.
Because if you need this dumb controller that doesn't exist on this new machine, then that game is locked out.
I've thought that too, like the backwards compatibility. Like you have to make sure that that is included.
Totally. And to be fair, I'm totally not willing to go through and buy fucking Super Mario Brothers for like $9 again.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's nice to know it's there.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I guess.
So
it's comforting.
Yeah.
So in honor of the new Far Cry being set in the caveman days, what I've done, part of my getting of this emulator was I decided I'd go back and play as many retro caveman-themed games as I could. Caveman,
it's kind of weird how many there were for a period of time. Yeah.
There were so many. But you know what? Especially the Super Nintendo era, because I worked out what it is it's just like it's that era of like, well, platformers are just easy to make.
Yeah.
Let's just make a platformer. Let's make up our own dumb, goofy character.
Here's Bonk.
Yeah. Oh, Bonk is – I want to talk a lot about Bonk. Bonk is actually – Bonk's great.
Bonk good?
I've never played Bonk. Bonk is awesome.
In my head is always like one of those fucking like – here's fucking Plonk. And fucking what's his name, the cat one, Bubsy.
Everyone's
like giving you just scrabbling to get themselves like a little mascot.
Okay,
you know what, let's call this right now. Let's do an entire episode devoted to just Bubsy.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
That's fine.
I'll find a way to introduce something unrelated.
Bubsy's a cat. You know what would be helpful right now? A cat.
I have very fond memories of Bubsy. But yeah, that's from that era of, this can be a mascot. Hey, I'm making a mascot over here.
Hey, he's called James Pond. He's a fish, but he's a spy.
James Pond.
What was the gecko?
Gex. The gecko. Yeah.
I'm making
Super
a note.
Frog.
You know what? Oh. I'm making a note of all of these. I'm going in.
Excellent.
I'm going in on all of them. What the fuck? What is this shit? Huh. Okay. I went in on as many caveman games as I could.
Yep.
I played a bit of Bonk. Now, Bonk is like, I always thought Bonk was just like a one-off piece of shit thing, but he started out on the TurboGrafx, one of those really old systems.
Mm-hmm.
He had three games on that, Bonk's Adventure, which are all they're all prehistoric times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you running around, and his main thing is he headbutts people. He's like got a huge... Yeah. Skull.
Right.
And he's bald. He's basically he's one of those, me in like, video game form. Yeah. He's caveman me.
He's a Liverpool caveman. Just mostly headbutt.
You fucking what?
Yeah. But it's a cool mechanic because you can like jump and you can headbutt in the air, so you kind of like dive on people. And then like there's these little periodically you come across like a little like a drumstick thing that's like a little power up.
Yes.
That turns you into like a sort of a different version of Bonk.
Oh.
I don't know how many different ones there are, and I don't know what the exact specifics of them are, but like they all look really demented and full on and fucked up, like really deranged. Like
right.
You start
like a bad evolution kind of thing.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, kind of like that. Like his eyes go all weird and squinty, and he's just like got steam coming out of his ears.
Fuck.
But they're really cool. Like the art style of them is really fun, and the character design is really cool. They're like challenging, but they're actually good games.
Yeah, right.
And then there's Super Bonk on the Super Nintendo.
Great.
Which, and again, this is a weird thing where, like, the first three are all prehistoric times. Super Bonk, for no explanation, you're just in current day. Like, the first level is just you're in Chinatown, like modern day Chinatown, just walking around.
Are you still a caveman?
You still dress as a caveman.
All right.
There's still prehistoric enemies coming after you. But there's no – because this is the thing. I've been playing a bunch of, like, old games from that time.
Yeah.
And, like, you know what the weird mix is where – like a lot of those games would have a cool little opening, not cutscene because it's before those, but like,
just like
the opening story would just be like almost a comic strip.
Yeah.
Which I really like. I really miss that. Instead of these 20-minute cinematic shit that you got to sit
through.
You should
play Far Cry Blood Dragon.
Mm. Is that? Mm. Is there a lot of that?
Yeah, that's what they do.
No, it's just like short.
Oh, it's 8-bit.
8-bit intro.
That's totally my wheelhouse.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So like... But I think it was either that or you'd get no context at the start of the game.
Yeah.
And the story's just in the manual.
Oh, yeah.
Like, read if you want to know what happened.
Fallen asleep for a bit too long. What's all of this?
But just knowing that some, like, you know, someone at the games company who probably never even laid eyes on the game had to sit there and write this shit out.
Yeah.
So Bonk is actually really cool. Then I played a bunch of other ones that are – because I think the – I don't know. I think it's like that era of just – yeah, just platform games were like a dime a dozen.
Mm.
And I guess like Caveman was just the most sort of simplistic.
I guess the Flintstones were big. That show Dinosaurs was big.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs game.
It is like a very instantly recognizable aesthetic. It's like, boom, there's some, like, we know what we can throw in there.
I guess it's a thing where it's like, you know, especially from back in those days, it's like, it's fantastical, but it's also, if you're developing a game, there's no imagination required.
It's like,
who are you fighting? Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
There's one called Chuck Rock, Ooh. Which is like you're this. He's this. He attacks people by just like thrusting out his belly. And it's got a bit of digitized him going unga bunga, which is like for the day is like pretty huge stuff to have a bit of voice work in
there. Yeah. You know what's weird about a lot of those like 90s platformers is that they would have a lot of very casual racism just thrown
big time.
In. Yeah. Like when there'd be a jungle level and there'd be all the people with the big masks on going unga bunga.
Yeah, Crash Bandicoot. Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
Big offender.
Virtually every single 90s game, there's an ice level where you kill a bunch of Eskimos.
Yep.
There's the desert level. Uh-oh. They've got the scimitars. Yeah. What are they called, those weird swords?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah, you just said what it was called.
Yeah.
What a cool guy. Anyway.
Yeah. It is. So there's that. And there's Joe and Mac, caveman ninjas.
What the fuck?
And again, it's just this is the thing, like people
double the racism.
So did Bonk just go really well? Was there a progenitor of this that like one of them went real well and everyone's like, we've got to get that caveman coin?
I think the Flintstones game did all right.
The Flintstones game did all right, but Bonk's like a Japanese property, so I don't know that they would have been as influenced.
Yeah, right.
By it. But Bonk's also TurboGrafx, which I think it's around the time of the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, right.
So he's pretty early on.
Mm.
I don't really know what happened to kick off. Like I said, I think it's just an easy like we don't have to create a world. It's all there for us.
Yep.
We'll just make it dinosaurs.
Yep.
It's pretty easy to do. What's it called? Chuck Rock? Chuck Rock. Crunk Rock. This is the weird thing. On the title screen of that game, it's him and his caveman buddies all rocking out on the guitar.
Oh.
Which you go, oh, it's like a rock and roll slash caveman. There's
the BC
52s. Yeah, exactly. There's none of that in the actual game. Like, it's just you running around.
Not even like when you finish a level, he pulls out a guitar and does a quick. Yeah.
And just, to be honest, I didn't get far. I didn't even finish level one before I got to
there's none immediately, though.
Yeah.
And also, no story. It's like, I'm just running through here fighting dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I did, in trying to look up caveman video games, I found someone's blog getting very angry at the caveman video games, perpetuating the stereotype that man was roaming the earth at the same time as the dinosaurs.
What a great...
Laying the blame squarely at the feet of your Bonks and your caveman ninjas.
Sick of Mario Brothers making people think this stereotype that turtles are dangerous. They're totally benign.
So there's a... But yeah, like, to bring it back to a game we were talking about a couple weeks ago, Super Mario Maker, where as that's been out a little longer, there's been a bit of criticism leveled at it of just like, it's like there's just a lot of shitty levels on there. It turns out it's actually not that easy to make levels.
Well, and the big problem, I played a little more Super Mario Maker this week. You can't filter them easily. There's no good search tools. Like the best thing you can do is like find a level that you like, go and follow that creator and then hope that they make good ones.
Right.
But that's a shitty...
I reckon surely they're going to fix that pretty soon with a patch or something.
They'd have.
Hopefully. Because everything else in that game is so good.
Yeah, first update, there'll be a lot of things like that.
Hopefully.
But my point being, like, you play these shitty knockoff caveman games and it's like, no, that's how you poorly design a level. That's real. And this cost money. Like, this wasn't just someone having a crack in their shed. This was like someone's job to make this a good game.
Yep.
I went in on the Flintstones one, of course. The Flintstones NES game, Holt, you just saw me play a bit of it.
Yeah.
Again, really hard, but I had very fond memories of that.
It's great.
Growing up. It's so good.
Yeah.
I also started playing a bit of... just to branch out into dinosaurs a bit more, I looked up the old Jurassic Park video games.
Yes.
Now, Jurassic Park has had 9 video games made about it in total.
Right.
Some of them have done that weird thing where they've just kept making games after the movies have been out. But to go back to like something we were talking about last week with licensed games, this is a weird thing where essentially the same game, the game with the same title, would come out across the Mega Drive or the Genesis, if you're in America, and the Super Nintendo.
Yep.
And it would be like a totally different game on each system.
Yeah.
I don't know why they bothered to do that.
I think it ended up being cheaper in a weird way because the job of porting it at that time was more difficult than the job of just making it from scratch.
Teams,
especially when you got some dude like, I don't know, maybe there's a Velociraptor down here. These Mario Maker douchebags who are sitting around like making shitty levels.
Or like one system would have an existing engine from like, you know, some other game, so they'd use that, and then they didn't have a similar one for like another system, so they just use a different one. They just basically like slap a coat of paint over them and go, Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Well, I remember playing the Super Nintendo Jurassic Park because my friend had a Super Nintendo. It's a top-down, Dr. Grant?
Mm. Yeah.
It's a top-down thing where you're sort of like walking through and just having to shoot the dinosaurs, you know.
Is there a level where you're dodging triceratopses?
Again, I didn't get that far into it.
Mm.
I looked it up on Wikipedia, it's like all the reviews at the time were like, this is real boring. Mm. but I also went in on the Mega Drive version of it, which I never played.
That's the side-scrolling one.
It's a side-scrolling one where you can play as Dr. Grant or you can play as a Velociraptor.
Yeah, that's very
and
cool.
I played about 10 minutes of it. I think it's the most badass game I've ever played.
Because
you're running through this ancient ruin as a Velociraptor and you've got like on any one screen there's like five guys shooting at you and at the same time there's like 10 dinosaurs trying to eat you. Like it's you versus man and beast at the same time.
Yep.
What I want to know is who is the fucking idiot that's getting that game and playing as the human when you have the option of playing as a Velociraptor?
Yeah.
What kind of...
I used to have that game on the Mega Drive and those Dr. Grant levels, man, they were...
big boy.
I wanted a few more levels of him just doing actual archaeology, just proper paleontology.
I want to play as the weird cartoon DNA strand in the education film that they watch.
I want to be the lawyer.
I want to be Newman taking a shit and getting destroyed by that... What's the one that spits acid? Anyway.
Acid boy.
Cool. Anyway, also a little tidbit that I found out. The Flintstones, there was a Flintstones 2 that came out on the NES and it came out right at the end of its life cycle. And it never came out in Japan. And as a result, it's really rare. Like, periodically, copies of it will go up on eBay and it'll get like $600.
Fucking douchebags.
Like a shitty...
If you buy fucking Flintstones 2 for $600,
you've got too much money.
Yeah, fuck, man. Yeah. Give me $600, everyone. Yeah.
So the weird thing about Flintstones 2, the plot of it is that the kids get kidnapped. Isn't that weird how that's like a common... Oh. I think that's like a common theme in old licensed games.
Yeah.
The beloved children are being kidnapped.
Yeah, see ya, bam, bam.
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah, the opening cutscene is pretty funny because it's like, it's Fred standing there and Barney walks over and goes, Fred, what's wrong? And Fred goes, Pebbles is missing. I can't find her anywhere. And then Barney goes, now that you mention it, I haven't seen Bam Bam in a while. Let's go find our kids.
Oh, great.
Oh, what fun.
That was a different time.
Anyway, it was the Stone Age.
It was.
Anyway, that, by the way, you know what a great Flintstones game plot would be all of the monsters, like
the monsters,
the enemies fight in the game,
right?
All of the dinosaurs that the Flintstones use for like their common household appliances.
Oh yeah,
they all revolt and start attacking the Flintstones.
Yeah, that's good.
That's a great idea. A great plot of a game
because their guns are just like, you know, gophers that they stretch out so it shoots
they
them out
have
of its
guns.
Mouth. I'm assuming that's what the gun
gophers
would be.
That they stretch out.
You know, and they launch something out of
them. Gophers that they jack off.
Yeah.
And it's just gopher cum that they. What's happening in those girls' change rooms? Anyway, that concludes my my jaunt through the world of caveman video games.
Excellent.
This is going to be a bit of a regular thing for me. I'll try and find a theme from some big game news for the week.
Yeah, I like it.
Go through. You know what? Based on that, I did Tom and Jerry. I'm going to try and find as many. I'll try and find some vermin themed games next week.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. I'm happy
play
with
some.
That.
Play some.
I've contributed, guys.
Exterminator. There's that old gas house. What's it called? It's one of the old Game and Watch ones.
Oh.
Where you're in a little greenhouse.
Yeah. Some bullshit.
Yeah, I'll play that.
Yeah.
For 8 hours.
The board game Mouse Trap. Maybe set up.
We're not playing board games. We're not nerds.
No.
So, Knox, what do you got? What have you been playing?
Man, fucking garbage. Like, we went to Sydney for a bit. And,
yes.
Coming up to that and then during... I don't know what type of things these are called. I think they're just called clicker games. Have you ever heard of these? They're a waste of, like, Cookie Clicker was the first big one.
Cookie Clicker.
You ever played that?
I got very into Cookie Clicker.
What's Cookie Clicker?
I've said the word play, but okay, what it is...
Are these like browser-based games?
Yes.
It's a browser-based game that is...
I played a candy one, I think.
So you basically, there's a screen and there's a cookie on it and you click it and it comes up as one click. And then once you get to like 10 clicks, you can buy a thing...
Yes.
Every click, you actually get two cookies.
Yeah, I've played
one
of these games.
At some point, it starts
going
automatically.
And then you can turn it on, so it's like automatic. And me and a group
honestly,
of dudes got very, very, very into it.
It's fucked up though because
it's so
just
stupid.
This number getting bigger.
Yeah.
But at some level, it's like that. It's just rarefied pure what a video game is.
Yeah.
At some weird level where like, yeah, it's pointless and the number's just getting bigger.
Yeah.
That's all this is, buddy.
But for me, the addictive part was like the higher it gets, then you can unlock new things.
Yeah.
Like
but it wasn't even cookie clicker that I was.
And they're all themed. It's like, he's a grandma that can bake more cookies or whatever. And so for me, it was like getting up to that thing and going, oh, cool, now I can get that. Like I would leave it running overnight. Yeah, yeah. And come back in and go,
there isn't even gameplay involved. No, it's just so watching the points.
Stupid.
Yeah.
It's so
well, I wasn't even doing cookie clicker, which is like, I think considered, it's at least the biggest one. I was doing one called like.
Guys, very quickly to the listeners, look up cookie clicker if you haven't played
it's
it.
It's weird. Like, something.
Send us your thoughts.
It sounds like shit when you describe it. It's just.
It is.
Clicking garbage. But there's something so nice about seeing that number get a bit bigger.
Yeah.
I'm going in again after this. I'm going to start it up again.
Well, you could try this one. It's called fucking space something. I can't remember what it's called.
Yep. Easy to Google.
But you start off buying, like you click on like, you know, a string or whatever, like the smallest bit of the universe that there is. And you start buying bigger and bigger things and you're building the universe.
Okay.
And so then like you're buying a cell and later on you're buying like a coffee bean.
Yeah.
And later on you're buying the Eiffel Tower. And I ended up with like 100 Eiffel Towers, which would be the weirdest, dumbest city in the world.
Yeah.
And then like you're buying
galaxies casinos
and shit. But you're not, and you don't get anything for it, and there's no reward, and it's a fucking waste of time, and it makes you question everything in your life. And I was just doing it because I was procrastinating. And so then we went to Sydney. And
performed some shows.
I got bored and I had to wait for one of our people who we were doing the show with to come home at like 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah. Should we name and shame?
Tim Clark.
Yeah, he's a real cunt.
Oh, my God.
We were all out and then a few of us went home early. And Tim was like, oh, I'll be home in a bit. And because we only had one key.
Yeah.
Someone had to stay up, and I think Nox, you were the last person to kind of be awake.
I left half an hour after you guys.
Right.
So this is an Airbnb, right?
Yeah.
I reckon that should be in an Airbnb listing, how many keys they have to give you.
Also, how many beds.
That plays a big part of, like, having one key between, like, what was it, four of you
four
staying
of us?
Yeah. It was a fucking nightmare.
It was one key and two beds as
well. Yeah, also two beds instead of four. And Rosie said she got flea bites. I don't know.
I think she was just being stupid.
who's Rosie?
My sister.
Who? My sister.
Anyway, so dear. I got. Have you ever played any like room escape games?
No.
I think they're cool. They're basically like
what
adventure games, right? You're stuck in a room.
Yep.
And you've got to find a way out of it. You've got to somehow get the key to the door.
Okay.
And so you go around the room looking at like, oh, what's in this drawer? Not a key. Next drawer.
Yep.
It's more interesting than that. Okay. And like there's little puzzles. There's little puzzles everywhere where like you've got to find these numbers and then you'll be like, oh, I wonder if these numbers go into this thing. And it's a bunch of puzzles.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Room. And some of them are really good. This is on an iPhone.
Mm.
Some of them are fucking garbage. With just like ads everywhere,
right?
You end up seeing more like Toyota Yaris's than you do puzzles.
You're trapped in the Yaris factory.
Yeah.
What's a good one then?
There's one called, I think it's just called The Room.
Okay.
Where it's this little box or this series of little kind of like trick boxes.
Yeah.
Like would be in like an Indiana Jones movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to wiggle the knobs right. And all that sort of stuff.
Oh, okay.
To get yourself in the mood, and then you play the game. No, you've got to you got to fiddle with the box to get you in the mood, and then you play the game.
Oh,
no, you've got to
very nice.
You've got to stick your fingers in this vagina. No, you got to mess around with this.
Gross.
You got to mess around with this box and open it up at some point.
Right.
And then after that, you play the game.
We're trapped.
Keep going.
We're trapped in a box of
how do we escape?
Keep going. How long left of the episode? 6 hours. So you get your dick out.
But yeah.
You slap it on the screen. You could do it with your dick. I've never actually tried to use my dick on
No, phone. I've used a sausage.
Yeah, does that work?
Yeah.
Right.
Raw or cooked?
Raw.
Why?
Because, I don't know, it was at a barbecue. And I feel like I'd already heard someone be like, you can use a sausage on your iPhone.
Right. Well, we'll see about this.
Yeah.
Myth busted.
Yeah.
And so did it work?
Yes, it worked.
Did it work?
Yeah.
I would have thought it wouldn't have been hot enough.
No, something about the texture was good.
and then you play the game.
The room was all right. It was like $3, and it was a fun little thing to do for a couple of hours.
Yeah. When you're a gamer, you're on the road. You know, you can't take your consoles with you. No, you gotta improvise, unless you have a handheld.
Yeah.
You gotta go. You gotta find those good mobile games.
Mm.
There aren't many.
I've been playing Landsliders. I'd recommend that.
What's that?
It's basically you have to go around a level, like it's sort of top down.
Yeah.
And your little guy, you move the world around him. So you push your finger to slide the screen, and the world moves around him. And
it's like a maze kind of thing.
It's not really a maze. It's more like you kind of. You just have to go around and get as many little pickups as you can.
Yeah.
And then eventually there's things that try and attack you. And you're just basically going for as long as you can without getting hit by something.
Right, okay.
And so because you're moving the land, you slide really fast. So you can tap it again to stop you.
Yeah.
But your control is really kind of slippery.
Right.
So, yeah. But it's cool. It's like a fun, it's a cool take on a platformer.
Yep.
Simplistic platformer using a touchscreen.
Hmm.
Like it still feels like it's kind of video gamey, without being apps tend to be pretty, some of them can be pretty basic and if you're actually into games, not that satisfying.
Yeah.
Monument Valley was really good.
Valley was so good.
What's that?
It was in an episode of House of Cards.
Oh.
It gives Kevin Spacey an idea of how to fix some Kevin Spacey problem he's having.
Can I just say, you are the worst at basically summing up things when asked what they are.
Yeah, I get that.
From an episode of House of Cards.
Yeah. It's pretty tangential, but it's an interesting.
I'll explain this reference with another reference. Yeah.
All right, I know what House of Cards is.
Monument Valley is
what, the British or the UK? I mean, US. Fuck.
It's a vaguely pretentious sort of walk around a little puzzle maze.
Yep.
And it adds on different layers of complexity as you go. You end up standing on this box, and then when you're in the mood, you play the game.
Fuck!
And that thing moves around. But yeah, you're basically just trying to find your way through this three-dimensional, at times really confusing, M.C. Escher looking.
Oh yeah,
kind of
that thing that took you 5 minutes to get to. That's what I would have led with.
It's the M.C. Escher Cards one.
M.C. Escher the video game.
Right. So it was season 3, episode 7, I think, and he's playing Monument Valley.
And he's like, we should put a monument in that valley.
It was the most blatant, hey, they paid to get this in here. Though.
Yeah, right.
And then he looked into the camera and went, this is a hell of a fucking game.
Yeah.
You can purchase for just
he basically did.
The Apple iStore.
I'm pretty sure there was a, he decides to play it because he reads a great review of it in the show.
I remember being oh, cool, I've played that. I don't remember them explicitly saying
House of Cards actually had some, of the better, video game product placement in a show. Because he was actually,
he's
what's
into
his
them.
Name?
Yeah, yeah. yeah. He likes playing.
Fucking, did you see the new Mission Impossible?
No, no,
Rogue
yeah.
Nation?
No.
There's a section in that when Simon Pegg shows up for the first time where he's playing Halo 5.
Hmm.
For no reason. He works for the fucking NSA and he's just sitting there playing Halo 5 and his boss comes up and he's like, Simon Pegg. And he throws the controller away. He's like, who's and he puts it in this drawer with the big box for Halo 5 sitting there, which wasn't even out yet in the movie's timeline.
It's like the wizard situation.
Finally. Monument Valley, again, another one that's great and really worth checking out. Yeah, the MC Escher vibes. It's pretty short, it doesn't take long to, but it's really, it's a really cool, work of art that,
right.
You have to just touch switches and guide yourself around this little, these weird little.
It's similar to Journey kind of in the way it looks.
Okay.
You ever play Journey?
Yeah. That's cool. I've been playing a bit of Fallout Shelter.
Oh, yeah. Any good?
It's okay. I'm really bad at it, though, so it's really discouraging me from playing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to keep enough power, water, and food, I think, and I'm just real shit at it. I'm doing everything
Is your shelter overrun with mice? And your character's just in the corner doing a podcast about it instead of putting out fucking traps and poison?
Yes, Tommy. That's what's happening.
The game of life.
It's okay, though. It seems to be pretty popular. What do I...
You can get fucking Final Fantasy VII for your iPhone now.
That's pretty cool.
Not really. It's well, too big.
I'll eat my words.
Well, no, they put out all the earlier ones as well, and they look like fucking shit.
Oh,
like,
really?
They've redone them, and they look like a Newgrounds 2003 like flash game.
Oh, right.
Great reference.
Thank you.
Yeah, very good.
But albino black sheep.
One of your one of your better ones from this episode.
It was in an episode. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Right. It's like
everybody loves Chris.
There's this dumb like all of the I didn't download it, but I did because it's like $20. But I looked at it, and all of the sort of boxes, all the text boxes, look terrible. And then when you're done with them, you play the game.
This is real on the ground game journalism reporting. Yeah. I didn't download it because it was $20.
The screenshots were great.
No, because I've played Final Fantasy VII before, and they're doing a remake of it that'll come out in a couple of years.
I'm looking forward to that.
So your phone isn't the place to play like a 50-hour-long game either.
Yeah, welcome back to IGN. Now, we were going to bring you our review of Halo 5, but it's $100. Yeah, and
bit tight this month.
My pay hasn't come through yet. But here I am in Target looking at the box. Yeah. And
looks all right.
No, the text boxes are okay.
Yeah. The security barcode they got on here looks pretty beaut.
my favorite kind of mobile games are like the Jetpack Joyride.
Oh, yeah.
Like just the real simple ones. Just like I got to avoid some shit and I got to and like collect coins and have upgrades. Like it's just.
I like anything where like you're, they're getting the upgrades to go further and the challenge of getting a little further each time. Did any of you guys play? I really hope the answer is yes because I can't really be fucked describing it. Rimmed Capsule.
Was that in an episode of any TV show?
Any of the Mission Impossibles?
Healthy, Wealthy and Wise to the story.
Oh, right. Brenda.
It's really good. RYMDKAPSEL, Rimmed Capsule.
Okay.
And it's basically you have to build a little space station and you have these two little people that to start with, and you build like basically a kitchen to grow food, and the food makes energy that you. So you basically there's five different things that you can plant, and the two little guys build it, and it takes a certain amount of time.
Yep.
But you need to have a bunch of them going at once because they all make resources to make the other ones go, and so you're on a timeline, and then every set amount of time, little guys come and attack you. And so one of the things you can build is a defense base.
Right.
You're gonna have to send your guys into the defense base to kind of – and there's like – so you're in this little galaxy and there's like these little beacons that you have to like build your thing up to get you to turn them on. I'm doing a really bad job of explaining it. But
I can see it.
This like super simplistic style where, like I said, the people, they're just literally like white dots.
Yeah.
And
the
bits that you build are just – the only thing that shows that they're a kitchen or a barracks are just that they're different colours. So it's super simplistic, but it's got really weird music, really eerie kind of vibe. And it's like this whole vibe is like you're just alone in space and you're just building this thing. And when the guys come and attack you, it's really full on. But it's really cool. And it takes – like one round will take you like ages to do. And you basically just go until all your guys get destroyed in an attack. I mean, the attacks become more and more frequent.
Right.
And so it's just like seeing how far you can get and how big you can build the thing. And it's
those more simplistic things like that work better on phones. Cause like I downloaded GTA 3 on my phone and it fucking sucks cause it's impossible to control. Yeah.
Well, then you need an iPad.
Yeah, but I've got one of them big phones.
He does have a big phone.
I got a big boy phone.
Is that like with the artificial joysticks on the screen where you kind of...
That's
terrible.
A terrible way to do that. There's one called a Dark Room, actually, that I got ages ago.
Mm.
That's sort of like one of those clicker games.
Yeah.
But then it turns into this like thing where you go out on these little quests into the world and it's all just done with like ASCII characters.
Yep.
That's pretty good if you ever get bored. If you ever want to play a video game, I don't know if you're interested in it.
Consoles do exist. Let's reiterate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's probably a good point to put a pin in it for this episode.
Yep.
Filthy Casuals. Thanks to all the filth out there listening.
Yeah, we didn't.
Stuff.
They sent us a bunch of stuff we have not addressed. So I don't know. Maybe next episode.
Well, we had that mice problem.
We need to get an email address so that it's easier to.
We have one. I forget what it is.
Oh my God.
I bet it's something like. I bet. It's something
don't
like,
make a bet.
I think it's filthy.casuals.com.
look it up and we'll put it in the podcast.
Yeah, we'll put it in the description. Yeah. Yep.
So I've got fucking terrible hay fever. I want to end this as well.
At filthycashpod. filthycaspod on Twitter.
On the Twitter.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/
Filthy Casuals Podcast, I believe it is.
Yeah.
If you just search that, you'll find it.
Keep rating and reviewing it. Honk that like button on Facebook.
Yep.
And we'll see you next time, the filth.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.